that some people have expressed as to the left-wing-right nature of libertarianism. Is it a phenomenon of the left? Is it a phenomenon of both? Does it incorporate elements of the left wing and the right wing? Exactly what is it? Well, to begin with, I think we should set out a few definitions and try to shed some light on the topic for our own edification, first of all, and second, for the clarification of our position to the general public who is very much concerned about this whole issue. Now, well, I would like to break down the definitions of left and right on two different levels. The way I see it, there is a psychological left wing and a psychological right wing. There is a political left wing and a political right wing. So let us analyze this and develop this concept a little bit further and see what we can come up with. In broad general terms, for the sake of having a workable definition, we might define the political right and anybody belonging to the political right as someone who has a strong commitment to the preservation of our present system, our centralized political system with authority and power, fairly well monopolized in the hands of a centralist political regime. From this we can see that political right wings would include the old left New Dealers, social democrats, people like Hubert Humphrey and Lyndon Johnson and the run-of-the-mill liberals, who are really taking a right-wing position in the sense that they are interested foremost in defending the status quo which they have largely established in the last 40 years or so. It also includes, of course, your average conservative, your Nixons, your Agnews, your Bill Buckleys, who are also, although they use the rhetoric of some libertarian rhetoric and some rhetoric of individualism and freedom, are also by and large interested in making their type of minor reforms within the framework of a top-down political structure, a centrally organized political structure. So from this we can see that really those who call themselves liberals and are liberals in the traditional sense, as it has come to take on a meaning over the past few generations in American society, and those who call themselves conservatives, again in a traditional sense, really are occupying the same side of the political spectrum, the right wing as I would define it. Now, there are some differences, sure. The liberals are very good at corrupting, at using what they might consider a radical or rhetoric to corrupt any type of anti-status quo, anti-establishment activities for their own ends. They have also become very good at using traditionalist conservatives as their police arm, as their protectors and the strong-arm defenders of their system, really. But by and large, both of them, although they are interested in minor reforms in our present system, in the case of the liberals, of course, it is greater tax revenues to be channeled into so-called social welfare laws, welfare itself, and housing and education and so on, and conservatives who would like to channel those same tax dollars into bigger and better IBM missiles and ABMs and into international rockets, into an arms system, are really interested in making their reforms from the top. So they are centralists, and although they may differ slightly on how tax dollars should be spent, their prime interest is in preserving generally the status quo that has been established over the past few generations. Now, broadly speaking, again, for the sake of coming up with a workable definition, we might define the political left as those who are sincerely interested in radical changes in the status quo, in our present political structure, but radical changes in the sense of if not total individual freedom, total individual voluntarism, at least decentralization down to the neighborhood level. And this, of course, would vary off any centralist programs like revenue sharing and money which is funneled in from the top into neighborhoods, usually with many strings attached to it. But generally, people who are either radical individualists in the sense that they would decentralize down to an individual level, and those who are committed to really radical neighborhood control over all vital institutions, to me would constitute the political left wing. Now, free market radicals, individualist radicals, I think certainly have more in common in our present situation with Jeffersonian decentralists, decentralist Democrats, the Jeffersonian left, which takes in people like Paul Goodman, Jane Jacobs, Citizens for Local Democracy, groups like that. Radical individuals certainly have more in common with these type of radical decentralists than we do with either liberals or conservatives on the right wing. Now, on a psychological level, how do we define left and right? Well, broadly speaking, the psychological left incorporates an attitude which is basically concerned with concrete over philosophical principles. The psychological left is primarily other-oriented, altruistic. It is the actions of the psychological left are most apt to be guided by their feelings for people, for injustices, as they, social injustices as they see it in society. They might be willing to alter or sacrifice certain philosophical principles for the sake of relieving immediate social concerns. They are concrete oriented. They are less inclined to be guided exclusively by philosophical considerations. They are other oriented and altruistic in the sense that their main enthusiasm and interest is directed outside of themselves. This is how I would define the psychological left wing. The psychological right is primarily concerned with ego interests, self-orientation, usually primarily interested in philosophical principles rather than concrete issues. The psychological right winger is not likely to bend his principles for immediate social ends. He is, again, ego-oriented, and his energies are channeled mainly around his own sphere of personal interest. All right, from this, now we've defined the political left and the political right, the psychological left and the psychological right. Now, it is possible for the psychological left-winger and the psychological right-winger, the other-oriented person and the ego-oriented person, to occupy the same side of the political fence at any given time. The psychological leftist and the psychological right-winger can both be political leftists, political radicals, in that they are both opposed to establishment politics, to the preservation of the status quo. To be sure, the motivation in each case will be different. The psychological leftist is more apt to be interested in what he would call universal social justice and relieving the misery of the masses throughout his own society, possibly even throughout the world. The psychological rightist would probably be more interested in achieving freedom for himself and his own immediate sphere of interest, whether it's himself as an individual, people who are closely tied up with him, his family, friends, and so on. So the motivation of the psychological left-wing political radical, of course, will be to achieve what he calls universal social justice. For the psychological rightist, it will be to achieve his own personal freedom primarily. It is also possible for the psychological left-winger and the psychological right-winger to occupy the common ground, to occupy the same ground on the right side of the political spectrum. So we see in the case of establishment liberals and establishment conservatives, we have the phenomenon of what I would call a psychological leftist, such as Arthur Schlesinger or Galbraith, and a psychological rightist, such as Milton Friedman, really working hand in hand with establishment regimes, depending on which one happens to be in power at any given time. So it is possible for the psychological leftist and the psychological rightist to be political left-wingers, and also for those two categories, psychological and psychological left and psychological right, to be politically conservative. On the other side, the psychological leftist you might consider Paul Goodman, and a psychological rightist such as Vivian Kellams, who's a great individualist tax resister, occupying a radical political position, radical opposition to the establishment status quo. We also see a certain amount of crossover depending on which political regime happens to be in power at any given time. So-called free market anarchists can be terribly radical and anti-establishment when a liberal administration is in power, and they can find it in their hearts to work hand in glove with a regime which uses the language and rhetoric of individualism when it ascends to power. Likewise, revolutionary socialists who are violently anti-conservative become terribly conservative themselves when a liberal claque, using the rhetoric of collectivism and socialism, is elected into office. Both the psychological leftist and the psychological rightist is capable of putting on blinders when a psychological bedfellow rises to a position of power. What does this mean for libertarians? Well, as individualist free market radicals, we should be primarily concerned about maintaining our political radicalism if libertarianism is really going to have any impact, if it's going to have any lasting impact intellectually and politically in our society. Whether, as libertarians, we consider ourselves psychological left-wingers or psychological right-wingers, the main thing is that we must maintain, again, if we are going to have this impact and keep it going, we must maintain our left-wing political attitude, our commitment to a radical change in the status quo as it exists right now. The great danger as far as radical politics is concerned, what you might call the radical political movement, is that it can be betrayed on both sides. That is, the radical political movement can be destroyed by both the psychological left-winger and the psychological right-winger. It can be betrayed by the psychological left-winger, who is so selfless and so other-oriented that he will be driven to terrorism and nihilism if his goals are not achieved tomorrow. The psychological leftist runs the risk of adopting suicidal tactics in the cause of his service to humanity. He would rather sacrifice himself and die rather than live for his cause at its extreme. The radical movement can also be betrayed by the psychological right-winger, who will give up his radicalism and align with the political right when the going gets too rough. That is, he may join hands with the political right in a crisis situation, or he may become a retreatist, a political dropout, and involve himself with utopian fantasies such as ocean platforms and digging caves under the sea, building his own atom bombs, lunar homesteading, the whole gamut of utopian nomadism and troglodytism. this is really not a radical political position. Our high school's up at ism. It's in the same category. It's an escape rather than a chance to alter anything concrete. And not only that, but one doesn't achieve freedom by burrowing into a hole or isolating himself on the moon or its equivalent in the middle of the ocean. And saying, well, there are no laws to guide me here, so I'm free. Well, you can't live like a civilized human being, and you can't communicate or travel where you want to, you can't communicate with those you want to, your economic system is certainly limited, even if it is free trade, you're trading bubblegum and matchsticks. So you really don't have freedom in a situation like this. So to recap that point, the radical political movement can be betrayed by the psychological leftist who may become so frustrated by his lack of accomplishments in the immediate political situation that he becomes suicidal in tactics, that he goes to terrorism and violence to achieve his ends. And it can be betrayed by the psychological right-winger, again, who may jump to the right politically when the going gets too rough, or who may turn toward retreatism in order to find his own personal freedom, so-called. So, to cap up, just to try to shed some understanding on what we are as individualist libertarians, the political left, I think we can almost do synonymously with trends toward radical decentralization. Hopefully the individualist idea down into a decentralization to the level of the individual. And the political right as anybody who is interested in using political power to preserve and protect the centralist political system that currently exists. The psychological leftist as being generally altruistic and other-oriented, the psychological rightist as being basically ego-oriented and individualistic. We see that the psychological leftist and the psychological rightist can both be political left-wingers, they can both be political right-wingers, and they can flip-flop back and forth depending on the current situation. For us right now, and for the successful dissemination of the individualist libertarian philosophy, it is imperative that we remain firm and uncompromising in our commitment to philosophical principle, and at the same time that we maintain a posture of unyielding opposition and radical resistance to American foreign policy and all forms of centralized political authority at home. Thank you.
This is the end of side one. Do not fast forward your cassette. At this point, simply turn the cassette over to play side two.